This free MP3 is brought to you by HappyWife.com to help you create the marriage of your dreams.
If you're in a serious relationship, no matter how long you've been together, how much money you have, you're gonna fight about money. It's just gonna happen. Money is so connected to our hopes and our dreams and our sense of security, our self-worth, almost all of our core emotions and all of our expectations around the family are played out through our finances. And finances and money mean such different things to different people that for sure you and your spouse are going to fight about money. And not only that, money is often the substitute for other unresolved issues in a relationship. So whatever is happening in the relationship, money's going to bring it out, and you're actually going to end up fighting about your finances and using your finances as a catalyst to blow off steam for all the other things in the relationship that you haven't resolved. And it's going to play itself out around money. And disagreements about money are so unbelievably intense, and they're much more negative than other topics. There's so much underlying intention of what's going on around money, and we just fight. We don't know what's really happening. In this workshop, we're going to learn how to take our financial issues and get rid of all the guesswork. Get rid of all the guesswork. Now, this is a very intensive workshop, which you and your spouse are going to have to get a pen and a paper and a workbook and your bank statement, and you're going to have to work hard because there's no easy solution for this. The greatest way that you can work through your financial issues is to get full disclosure, really remove all the mystery. And so the financial issue just becomes a game of numbers. You understand everything that's going on. We're going to do some exercises learning how to create and to share your financial dreams as well as your financial history. We're going to learn how to budget it. And we're going to learn how to use the finances and the issues that we have around money to actually bring us closer together rather than pull us apart and be a catalyst for all the other issues in the relationship. Look, if you got issues around finances, well, you got to deal with the issues around finances. But if your finances are becoming the hot button issue, which are creating arguments and fights for unresolved issues in other parts of the relationship, we can't have that. We're going to get rid of those today, you and I together. Now, in order to do this, you really have to understand that this is a workshop. If you just want a lecture and you want to listen, this is not the program for you, because this one is extremely workshop intensive. I'm going to be giving you 5 workshops, and you have to stop the tape. You have to stop the tape and stop the program and actually do it. And some of them could take you a few hours. You're going to have to gather information, put it together, and you're going to have to work together with your spouse. But I'm telling you, if you work through these 5 workshops and you understand some of the points that we're going to bring, we will be able to understand how to take the financial issues and actually create a bond with our financial issues. Create a bond so that actually becomes another intimate part of our relationship, bringing us close together and making us feel emotionally intimate, working through the finances together. Now, in the society that we live in, we live in a pretty crazy society, because, you know, discussing money has always been a social taboo. I tell this story about I was once in a cab, and the cab driver was asking the fellow that I was with about his relationship, and he was full disclosure. He was talking about intimate parts of his relationship with his stranger. I was sitting there going, what is going on? How can you be telling a stranger such intimate things? And then they got on to talking about what neighborhood he lives in and what house he lives in, and the cab driver asked him, so, yo, wow, that's a nice neighborhood. Do you have a house there? Yeah. So what did you pay for it? The guy turned to the cab driver and said, excuse me, but that's way too intimate. That's extremely private. That's the society we live in. You could be so open about the most intimate parts of your relationships, but the minute that it comes to talking about how much it costs, whoa, way too private. way too private. There's a social taboo about speaking about money. You know, in childhood, you tell your kids, don't ask how much it costs. It's rude. You know, that's the way. And what's interesting is if you take a look at the way the court system is working, the headlines, even today, take a look at the headlines. There's these huge, massive fraud cases going on where these CEOs of these major corporations are finally, the trial has happened. They're getting sentenced. They're found guilty. Getting 20 years in prison. And then you flip a couple pages over and you see someone raped and murdered a couple girls and dismembered them and tried to get rid of them, and they're getting 12 years. So what's going on? What's the message here? That if you commit a fraud, a financial fraud? I just read about a case where the judge said, I'm giving you 20 years to the CEO of a company where he was found that he committed fraud, a crime, he should be sentenced. But she said, because of the severity of this crime, I'm giving you 20 years, the maximum sentence that I can give you. The severity of the crime, I understand, but it's not murder and rape. Come on! But that's the society we live in. The society we live in is money has a very strong pull in our society. We're going to discuss that in a few minutes. Now, the first thing we have to know is that in terms of our relationship, husband and wife, our spouse, our relationship to our money. You know, you get married, you're actually inheriting not only their money, you're inheriting their debt, you're inheriting the way they understand money, the way they were taught to deal with money, what money means to them as an individual, what money means to them as a person who grew up without security, with security, who grew up feeling that money for them could be a sense of pride and self-worth, or just a sense of feeling taken care of. You inherit all of this with your spouse. And we're going to learn to uncover some of the patterns that how your spouse deals with money. And I want you to please, if you haven't already got your pen and your piece of paper, what I'd like you to do is please get your pen and your paper. Hopefully your workbook, because there's a couple pretty intensive workshops that I'd like you to do together. And here's the very first workshop. So if you didn't get your pen and paper, go get it, please. Pause the program, and I'll wait for you. Go ahead. All right, you back? You got your pen and your paper? Excellent. Again, if you're thinking that you can do this in your head, you can't. I'm telling you, we're going to be using these. So if you don't have a pen and paper, really, go get it now. Excellent. First workshop, workshop number one, is we want to explore your financial dreams. What do you really want from your money? What are you really trying to achieve with your money? What I want you to do is I want you to write on the piece of paper 1 year, then I want you to write on the piece of paper 5 years, and then I want you to write on a piece of paper 10 to 30 years, more long-term thought. And I want you to include, when discussing your dreams about your money, what I want you to do is I want you to include what you really want in 1 year, 5 years, or 30 years. You're dreaming. It could be anything. There's no limits to your dreams. What you want, your desires, financially, and also be what you want not to happen. In other words, your fears. For example, your desire could be a home in the country that you go to on weekends, or a paid for home in the city, or your dream could be the vacation once a year to a tropical paradise with your spouse, or a family vacation, could be 1 year from now, or your fears could be not having enough in your old age, in your retirement, to take care of yourself. That's a very big fear. Or not having enough money to put your kid through college. That could be a really big fear. So what I would like you to do is I really want you to write down, both of you, write down a 1 year, 5 year, and more long term, 10 to 30 years, what do you really want materially, financially? What are your desires? And then, what do you really don't want to happen? In other words, your fears. Do that now, and pause the tape, and we'll come back together in a moment. Okay, how did it go? Great. Now, what I would like you to do is put this list aside. We're going to get to it when we get to another workshop in a few minutes. But I just wanted to, how did it go? You're discussing your financial dreams, what it is you would like. I think it's very, very important. You have to understand is that there was a, Scott Stanley is a professor of psychology, University of Denver. And he said it's very interesting. He says, but they found that couples who operate completely independently financially don't do so well over time. Because you have to understand is that money, he says, and I quote, is the intersecting point where couples make most of their decisions. Now, we've spoken about this in other programs, and we've talked about how 90% of marriage is the mundane world, and how you deal in the small things really determines the amount of intimacy you'll have. And if you're intimate in the small, seemingly mundane things, of course you're going to have that deep level of intimacy, emotional intimacy that you want from the relationship. And money is that one area, as Dr. Stanley says, is it's the intersecting point where couples make most of their decisions. So much of what we do is paying bills and figuring out how to use our finances and what we're using them for and what we're not using them for and what we're sacrificing, what we're not sacrificing, what we're leaving out, what we're not... What we're choosing to share, what we're not choosing to share. So much of our relationship is built around our decisions around money. And money arguments, when they turn into arguments, they have the potency, incredible potency. They're strong because they allow for power and control to be triggered in the relationship. If one person is holding on to the money or the control of the money, or he or she only knows about the money, that person can feel like they're in control of the relationship. And when that happens, conflict can start coming. And this kind of conflict can start triggering conflict in other parts of the relationship. So we really have to understand, as Dr. John Gottman in the University of Washington says, is you got to learn how to work together as a team on your financial issues. You got to know how to work together as a team. You got to make that commitment to work together as a team into the relationship. You know that for couples, when you have an explicit, shared, or negotiated approach to money, it's as crucial as maintaining a healthy sex life. The disclosure and how you deal with money is as important as if you had a sex. You can hurt your spouse so much. You can betray your spouse so much in the way that you're dealing with money. So what we want to do is we want to try and create a team where the two of you are going to work together on your financial issues. With your expressing your concerns, your needs, your fantasy, coming up with a plan and a budget, which you'll work together, complete disclosure and understanding how you deal with money. How do you deal with money? How do you, as a human being, what does it mean to you to have money? Now, we understand that the meaning of money can mean something different to everybody, especially determine how you grew up in your family and how they dealt with money in your family. Because money can mean power for somebody, can mean freedom, can mean escape, can mean pleasure, security, sense of identity, self-discipline, self-indulgence, competition, negotiation. And what happens if you have a couple where each person possesses a different value system or different needs? Money is just a finite resource, and it runs out. It doesn't run out. It's played out in the relationship based on what it means to me. So, for example, if money for me means power, I want to hang on to the money so that I can have the power in a relationship. Or if money for me means security, when I don't have it, I sense that my feet are not on solid ground, and everything else in my life is shaky. So we got to understand what money means to each of us. We got to understand that what money means, the history of how we handle money, is extremely, extremely important to understand in the relationship so that we can make sacrifices and compromises, and most importantly, just understand where our spouse is coming from. Workshop number 2. Get out your pen and your paper or your workbook. Workshop number 2. Is we're going to discuss, I would like you to write it down, you're going to discuss it later, I'd like you to write down the history of how you handle money. You got to do it, your spouse has to do it. I want to understand, based on your family of origin, How do you deal with money? Discuss how money was handled in your family of origin. When a money matter happens in a relationship, most of the time, it's triggered because of some deep-seated, unspoken assumption based on an early experience. In other words, something will happen in the relationship. The woman will ask the husband, did you pay that bill? And all of a sudden, boom, he'll blow up. And she's like, whoa, where did that come from? But for him, that was a sense of feeling like she is looking, calling him an irresponsible person, which is the way his mother used to deal with him when she would ask him to do something. Boom, and we'll get all played out. So what we need to do is we need to discuss how money was handled in our family of origin. You're going to talk about how your money was handled by your parents. Literally, how was it handled? Who went to the bank? Who balanced the checkbook? Who held the money? Who made the money? And emotionally, how did you feel when you were a kid? Did you feel anxious about the bills being paid? Did your parents show you love by giving you costly gifts and try to buy you because they didn't give you the time? Whatever it may be, discuss how money was handled in your family of origin with your parents. When you do this, put it on pause now. When you do this, come back to me and I'll give you the second part of this workshop. Okay, you back? Great. Now the second part of this workshop is now I want you to discuss now, and you personally, how you deal with money, how you feel about money, how you handle money, what problems have arisen in the past because of the way you handle money, what positive things come out because of the way you handle money, when and what items do you overspend, where do you tend to not care about money, where do you tend to run away. You know, I'll give you an example. I jog, and I wanted to buy running shoes. And I hummed and hawed and went to store, this store and that store, and I didn't know whether I wanted to spend $79 or $99. And for that extra $20, I must have gone to 20 stores and spent hours and hours and hours, just hours, trying to do that. But you want to get me to a restaurant? And I'll drop $100 in a second on a dinner without even thinking about it. What do you mean? Why in the world would I spend 20 hours trying to save $20 on a pair of running shoes, but I'll go to a dinner and spend $100 without even thinking about it? Why is that? Try to understand how you deal with money now. The two of you. Should be quite amusing. Have fun with it. Write it down. And I'll get back to you in a minute. Okay, so now, so far we have your financial dreams. What do you really want from your money? What do you want in 5 years? 1 year, 5 years, 30 years? What are you scared of? What do you don't want to happen? You've got your history of how you handled money in your family of origin, your parents, and how it grew up. And now, how you, essentially your quirks, how do you deal with money now? Now we're going to do the hard work. And this is the hard work that's extremely, extremely necessary. Because so many times, when there is secrecy in a relationship around the financial lives, this secrecy, in a sense, is a sort of a new form of infidelity, and one that can actually be almost as dangerous as sexual betrayal. So much of what we do in our relationship is built around trust, and we need to understand how we can trust each other, and the way to do that is with full disclosure. You know, the pressure on people to produce nowadays and to make money has become enormous, huge, and the people that are busy doing it, making money, they just don't have time for their relationships. Can you imagine how much pressure a person has to make the kind of money they need to make? And we know that the materialism itself is extremely seductive. It's extremely seductive. A person doesn't die with half of his material desires fulfilled. Impossible. And the whole society is built around creating a desire for more materialism. I know I have a computer. It does everything I need. It's a hold. My needs haven't changed that much. But I look at what's going on in the market right now with do this and this and the power here and what you could get in your computers nowadays. Whoa! But I don't really need it. But I want it, and I have to change my car. My car right now has... It doesn't have a screen where you can see where you're going, a navigation system. So I'm looking at my car going, well, you know, I think I need a new car. I don't need a new car. I need a television screen in the front with a navigation system with a person saying, turn left at the next exit. That's what I need. My car drives beautifully. I still enjoy the way it drives. It's a healthy car. But we live in a society where it's created, the materialism has created this seduction. And what it is, what was so bad about this, and the negative impact it's having on relationships, is that the materialism creates a sense of never being satisfied with what you have. There's always something better, cheaper, faster, more interesting, a better color around. And this is having a devastating effect on marriage and a devastating effect on a couple's. Because once you're married, if you don't feel that you have enough in your life, and especially with your spouse, uh-oh, there comes trouble just around the corner. See, we need to understand is that our sense of fulfillment can come through the relationship if we focus on what we have. If we get a constant sense of being dissatisfied in every other area of our life, it's definitely going to creep into our relationship. And we know there's certain complaints that sometimes women have towards their husbands and men have towards their wives. For example, a woman can complain that their husbands fail to provide the kind of support that they wish that they could have, and they have to go to work, and they don't want to work, perhaps, and they don't want to be a two-income family, and they want to be a one-income family, and they thought the husband would be able to support. Wow, that's pretty heavy. Or a man can complain that the woman demands too much of them, and perhaps they complain that the women are not sort of carrying their fair share in the relationship, and they wish that they would do more. Wow, that's a pretty heavy thing. And this disappointment, whatever it is, those are just two examples. This disappointment can drive a wedge between the couple. And you want to know something? Is that marriage is as much a promise of a fiscal partnership as it is of sexual monogamy. It's extremely important that we have a natural inclination that we want to let the money issues sort of let them go, remain dormant. And we'll deal with them through denial, and we'll deal with them through avoidance. But you want to know that the more proactive you can be as a couple, and you create a strategic plan, and you have a shared vision of your financial life, the better it'll be for your marriage. We don't want to be a couple that is hiding out our financial issues, because that creates distrust. That creates a sense where I don't trust you and I'm scared of you, and all those other issues will come out. All those other issues will come out that we spoke about earlier, where money will now be a catalyst to bring all the issues of the relationship here now. And you want to know that for couples, that an explicit, shared, or negotiated approach to money is as crucial as maintaining a healthy sex life. You gotta have financial disclosure. You gotta take away the guessing game for your relationship. You gotta take away that sense of betrayal that monies can so often bring. And here comes the hard work. I hate to tell you this, but here comes the hard work. And this is crucial. And it doesn't matter whether or not you have a lot of money, huge income, or whether or not you're scraping by to get by every month, you gotta do this next step, and that the two of you together have to create a budget. And number one of the budget, you have to list your current expenditures. What are you spending money on each month? Where does your money go? You gotta know where the money goes, both of you. You got to categorize your monthly expenses. For example, your house payments, whether it's a mortgage or rent, your car payments, your credit card payments, groceries, your eating out, clothes, entertainment, perhaps tuition, all these different things. You got to know where your money goes. Now, take out your pen and your paper. You're going to do workshop number 3. And this is not an easy workshop. Perhaps you've done it before, so it'll be quite easy. But it's extremely important you get full disclosure. How much you're spending, both of you know, it's on the table. First things first, how much? Now, if you've never done it before, it's going to take you some work. You got to get your bank statements. Perhaps you can do it on the computer. You got to write out all the different lists of expenses, and you got to put down a piece of paper. You got to know where the money's going. You got to be honest. You got to be honest. You got to be honest about your financial situation. You got to disclose your salary, your debt load, your student loans, your inheritance, your savings, your credit status. And this is not a time for estimation. Don't estimate. Pull out the paperwork, get a calculator, and add up your actual figures. It's extremely important for your relationship. It's extremely important for your marriage that we take all the hidden world away and we get full disclosure. So take out your pen and your paper, and I want you to write down your current list of expenditures. What do you spend your money on? Make the list of categories and how much each month you spend on each of those things. It may take you a little bit of time, but do that. As soon as you finish that, on the other side, what I would like you to do is talk about how much income you have. Now, if you have a tremendous amount of income, but you're still having financial issues, well, that's okay, as long as there's enough money coming in to cover your budget, to cover your expenditures, and you know what they are and you agree to them. We're going to talk about that later, about how to have agreed upon goals and budgets. We'll do that. But now just what it is that you have been and are spending it on. And if you are just trying to scrape by every month, at least you'll know how much money to bring in to cover your expenditures. And if you don't have enough to bring in, where you can cut it. First things first, both of you are very, very clear of your expenditures. Okay, so go ahead and create this first step of your budget. Good luck. Get to work. It's not easy. Don't cut corners. Do it together, but have this budget done before you turn back on the program. Good luck and get to work. All right, you're back. How did it go? Alright, I know it was hard work, but I'm telling you, it's worth it. We want to take out all the financial guesswork away from our marriage so that we can deal with the issues. If the financial issues are issues, we'll deal with them as financial issues. And we'll stop our finances becoming the catalyst for bringing other issues into our relationship. Now, if you have that list of expenditures in front of you, plus your income, there's a very important next step for this budget. And that is that you have to mark off, the two of you have to agree, and you have to mark off what are the essential expenditures on your list. What are the things that you can't do without? And maybe get a magic marker or a highlighter pen and just go through all the expenditures that you know that are fixed. For example, you got to pay your rent or your mortgage, so that gets a highlight. And you got to pay for your insurance, well, that gets a highlight. And you got to go out for dinner 5 times a week to a fancy restaurant. Whoa, wait a minute. That's where you start. You don't highlight that one. So you go through all the different things, all the different expenditures, and you figure out which ones are essential. Okay, I'd like you to do that right now. Turn off the program and do that right now. All right, you back? Great. So now you have your highlighted with all your expenditures that are essential, plus your other ones. Excellent. And now the last part of this budget is you're going to work together to plan how you fulfill this budget. Who does what, when, how. Who's going to pay the bills? Who's going to write the checks? Who's going to go to the bank? Who's going to check, double check to make sure that you're not having overpayments? Who's going to do the work? Together, you should do it together. And if it means that one person is doing most of the tasks, that's fine. But you should at least get together once a week, once every 2 weeks, once a month, and just discuss it. Talk about it. Have full disclosure. What is going on? How is happening? But you should have a plan. This is who's doing what, and this is when you're going to get together to discuss it. Very important third step of your budget. Okay. Please turn off the program and do those steps. Thank you. All right. Now most of the hard work is done. Now we get to do some of the fun things. It's 2 more steps. First step, of course, we know is that we spoke about what your financial dreams are. You wrote down all your financial dreams. 1 year, 5 year, 30 year dream. Second thing we did is you discussed the history about how you dealt with money. The third thing you did is you put together a budget, a list of expenditures, the essential expenditures, and now who's doing what. You're now a team going to work together on your finances. Fantastic. fantastic job. Now what we're going to do is we're going to talk about creating some shared financial dreams. Now I want you to take out your list of your financial dreams that you did in workshop number one. What do you really want from your money? Your desires. And I want you to take out your budget and please make sure that you have it in front of you. So you include you've got your desires and your fears from your first workshop, that your house is paid for, or your retirement, or that you have enough money when you retire, that you don't have to worry, whatever it may be. Now what I want you to do is share this list with your spouse. One of you read your list first, and then your next spouse will read it afterwards. So share the list with your spouse right now. Do it now. Turn off the program and do it. Okay, you did it? Great. So now you see, you've got your dreams. One person wants to take a vacation. Another person wants to pay off the house. It's great. Different personalities, different people, different things. Now what I want you to do is we're going to now create a joint long-term goal sheet. Right now, the two of us are going to have a shared vision, a shared dream of our long-term financial goals. Now, I want you to be extremely explicit. Be specific. You have to include in this your current budget how much money you're making, how much money you're spending, where your money is going. For example, you know, of course, the famous rule, you got to pay yourself first. You put 10% of your income away in savings. Of course, you want to give your 10%, hopefully, for charity. Now you're working on 80% of your income. That's going to pay all the bills. Fantastic! Now, what about your long-term dreams? What about those? What are we doing to take care of it? Now, you have your dreams, and your spouse has their dreams. Now, what we want to do is we want to create a shared dream between the two of you. Now, I would like you to take your dreams and her dreams, talk about it, and come up with a few shared dreams, a couple things the two of you as a couple want for you together or to you as a family in 1 year, in 5 years, and in 30 years. What are the things the two of you want together? So do that now. Turn off the tape, turn off the program, and do that right now. I recently did this exercise with a couple, and they were very different. The husband, John, was extremely loose with money. He grew up in a family where they didn't have to worry so much about money, so he's much looser. He earns an income, he spends, he has optimism. I'll spend what I spend, I'll earn what I need to spend. But his wife, Julie, is just the opposite. She worries about money. She wants to budget everything. She's scared about the future. So I had this exercise where they had this dream. So they had to have the dream. You know, so John had fun with this exercise. He dreamt about owning his own small company. This was a 5-year plan. Owning his own company and having a lot of time, buying a sailboat, traveling around to romantic places with his wife. And Julie, of course, had a different thing. She wanted to make sure that they had proper medical insurance, and that enough money in the savings account for emergencies, and she wanted her husband to have a full-time job that offered a sound pension plan so they wouldn't have to worry about the future. But she did include one quote-unquote frivolous dream. And that, she said, she wants to take a European holiday with her husband within the next few years. I said, wow, that's pretty good. Now you can understand, John jumped right on that one. He said, well, we could do that. Now, what they needed to do at this point, of course, is to see how they could take the budget that they have, the income that they have, and put away money towards this dream. And they started doing that. And they put away a little bit of money and a little bit of money, and they adopted a savings plan and a spending plan that feels comfortable with the two of them. And they compromise with each other to help meet their goals. And now they have the shared dream and the shared goals. And they had this 5-year plan to go on this beautiful, romantic European holiday together. And it only took them 2 years. And after 2 years, they went. And they had this incredible holiday together. They would never have been able to do that if they didn't have their shared goals, that which you just did together. You got to share your dream. You got to take into account both of your desires and both of your fears. And then pick one or two things that you're going to start with the budget that you have, you're going to start working towards. Now, I want you to stop the program, pick one or two things that you're going to start working towards, and figure out together how you're going to compromise in order to budget it. Good luck. Do it now. Okay, you're back. Excellent. The last part, what we're going to do, is I think it's very important that the two of you come together to have some sort of a plan about what it is you want to teach your children about money. You know, we all grew up in a house where probably people didn't talk about it very much. And they didn't talk about your dreams and your desires and your focuses and how you paid bills and everything. We wanted, and you grew up and you expected to figure it out as you get older. And we carry so much baggage with us. So why not try together to work as a team to try and eliminate some of the baggage that you have with your children? And the first thing you have to do is you got to understand, together, what kind of messages do you want to send to your kids about money? What do you want them to know? What kinds of approaches do you want them to have about money? Do you want money to be the ultimate value in their life? Do you want them to understand that money is about balance? Do you want to understand that materialism is really about the ability to have what you need to have in order to do the things in life that are really important? Do you want them to understand the sense of fulfillment comes with being independent and earning your own money? Or do you want them to understand the power of giving charity and the power of being a giver? What do you want them to know about money? You have to come up with a plan, the two of you, to come up with a plan about what messages do you want to send to your children about money. Now, in order to do this, you got to know that both of you have to have very clear your sense of value about what money means to you. I mean, you don't want to send them a negative message. Money means power, son. It means the ability to control your family and be in total control and have the ultimate power in your relationship, because if they don't do what you say, you withhold the money, and then they'll get you to, they'll do anything you want. That's what money. You don't want that stuff. Or money's about not feeling insecure, dear, where you don't think that, you don't want to give all those negative messages. So the two of you have to come up with what money really means to you, what value it really plays for you. What is it to you? What is the value of materialism to you? When you come up with that, then that's the message that you're going to want to give to your child. What is the value of money? Truly the value. Why? What messages do you want them to have? And as soon as you finish that, then you're going to have to come up with step two, which is how are you going to teach them these lessons now while they're children? For example, are you going to give them an allowance and teach them as soon as they get their allowance that 10% of that goes to savings right away and 10% goes to charity? Perhaps you're going to want them to get a job at a certain age, maybe help them create their own little business. You know, my sons, they have a shoe shine business. They go around the neighborhood once a week and they shine shoes, $2 a pair. And they do a tremendous job. Two of my boys do this. They do a tremendous job. And they get their income and they're over their little bank account. And all of a sudden, you know, they go to the store. They want to buy their own treats, their own ice creams, because we limit the amount that they'll have. And they'll ask, can I use my own money to buy this? And through that, now the two of them have started actually a gardening business. They're young. One is 12 and one is 7 or 8. He's 8 now. And they started a gardening business where one of them used my lawnmower, and the other one for his birthday present got a weed whacker and a leaf blower. And now they go around the neighborhood, they have flyers up, and now they have two businesses. And they know everything they earn, they give 10% to charity right away. They pay themselves 10% right away for their savings. And then we understand the value of money, the value of earning money. So when they ask me now, hey, Dad, will you please buy me a pair of running shoes? How much do they cost? $59. I say, okay, let's talk about how many shoes you had to shine for $59. They start getting a sense of the value of money. The other thing is we talk, now that they're earning, we also talk a lot about what money really means. Is that what's going to give you your fulfillment? How much time, effort, energy, and to what are you going to sacrifice in order to get what kind of a lifestyle for the money? Are you willing to put all your time, effort, and energy into your money, into getting money? Is that what you're willing to do? At what expense? At what expense? At the expense of your family? At the expense of your health? At the expense of your sanity? What are you going to do to achieve that kind of wealth and power? These are the kind of messages you need to have, a clear message that the two of you together are unified and implementing into your parenting, what do you want to teach your children about money? What do you want to teach them? So I want you to stop the program right now and come up with a joint understanding of what you think the value of money is and what message you want to send to your children. And part two, how do you think you can teach this lesson to your kids? Be very specific. Have fun with it. Your kids will eat it up. And it's one of the most important lessons that you can teach the kids nowadays in our society. Get to work. Okay, great job. Let's do a quick review about what we learned. So the first thing we've decided that we need to understand is that we have to have our financial dreams clear. What do you really want money for? What are you using it for? 1 year, 5 years, 30 years? We did our workshop. We discussed the history of how you both handle money, your family of origin. When you were growing up, what was money like? And now, what kinds of patterns have you gotten into right now? That was great. The third thing we did was a budget, a list of expenditures. We threw everything onto the table. No guessing anymore. What we're trying to do is take all the guesswork away from our financial life, create a team where the two of us are working together in our financial life, using money, using finances as an opportunity to bond and get closer together. And therefore, we went to the next, which was the long-term goals, having shared dreams and goals together, very specifically with the budget that you have, how to make these dreams happen, and how to take these and work very specifically about saving towards or planning towards a shared dream together. And the last thing we did to bond the two of you is to learn how to teach your kids about money. What is the value of money? What does money really mean to you? How to teach your kids, have a shared vision of how to teach your children. Money doesn't have to be an issue that rips us apart or drives a wedge between us. Money can really be, and finances can really be, an opportunity for uncovering who we really are, going to some very intimate places, because dealing with money can be almost as intimate as dealing with the intimate part of the relationship. So much of who we are and what we stand for is built around our relationship to our finances. And coming together with a person in terms of finances and having full disclosure and really being honest and open about it can be such an important part of the relationship and the intimacy of the relationship. I want to thank you so much for the privilege of sharing this journey with you and helping you to use the finances in your relationship and in your marriage to bring you closer together and to create emotional intimacy rather than pulling you apart. I'm proud of you, and I feel that we're kindred spirits working hard to ensure that we do not have a mediocre relationship, because we know that a mediocre relationship means a mediocre life. Get to work, work hard, and know that your intimacy and your closeness lies over the next hurdle. Thank you again. Good luck and God bless.
We hope you've enjoyed this free MP3. Please be sure to tell your friends about happywife.com.